A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. It's your voice and your vote. Daily in-depth coverage on Dave and DeGenevic.
Burgess Owens, now congressman-elect. Upsetting incumbent Ben McAdams in the 4th Congressional District. Took us a while to figure it out. After all the ballots were counted, I'm not sure all of them are quite counted yet, but I heard Ben McAdams' concession speech on Jeff Kaplan's afternoon news yesterday as I drove home, and I thought it was classy.
It's not my place at this point, I think, to be telling Burgess Owens how to be a member of Congress. I want to give him the space to do the job that he feels that he can do. My hope would be that while we may have differences of opinion, so much of this job is rolling up your sleeves and working for the veteran who was denied a Purple Heart but deserves it.
Classy for what we saw, Dave, come down to the wire is a nasty battle for that House seat.
Yeah, and I'm happy for Burgess. Congratulations. But I think this was way more a vote against McAdams than it was for Burgess because, quite frankly, nobody knew Burgess. He was a complete newcomer to Utah politics, and that's why I think it was much more an indictment on McAdams than it was in favor of Burgess Owens.
Well, let's analyze. Let's analyze what went wrong for Congressman Ben McAdams. It is very rare to have a one-term representative. Republican Ena Green, she's the last one. Lost her seat in the late 90s, 1997. And really, that was her ex-husband's fault. He was wrapped up in a scandal regarding campaign funds and embezzling of money. He eventually went to prison. It wasn't her who lost the race. It was him who lost it.
Who is Burgess Owens?
But let me tell you what also did not bode well for Ben McAdams and Burgess Owens. Either one on this is... Are those ads, Dave?
Records show a trail of Owens not paying his debts in multiple states over multiple decades. Bankruptcies 6 times.
And a lot of those campaign ads did not sit well with voters.
Yeah, those ads, and on both sides. This was not just a McAdams problem, but on both sides, those ads, they were icky. I needed a shower every time I listened to them. And not that this is completely McAdams' fault. His ads... You know, the ones you hear at the very end. I supported this message. his ads were very bipartisan, positive, bring people together. The outside ads were the ones that were very aggressive. And as you heard right there, attacking Owens' personal finance. Well, there's a disconnect there. Are you the nice guy that plays well with others? Or are you the fighter?
Do you think it was his vote to impeach President Trump that ultimately... is why he met his demise.
Yeah, I think a lot of Republicans showed up for that very reason. And he voted to impeach the president. The president was impeached, and he was being held accountable, in my opinion, by the Republicans that were angered by that impeachment proceeding.
Well, I think it was that he became invisible. Boyd Matheson? Jump into the conversation with us. You hear him every day here right at 11 o'clock on KSL News Radio. He became invisible for quite a stretch. And you can't do that when you're only back there for 2 years. He became invisible to the folks back here. And then came the ads that made it sound like he was, you know, that made him sound like he was kicking back in a limo sightseeing in D.C. instead of walking the halls of Congress and in the important committee hearings.
McAdams agreed to serve on a commission investigating human rights abuses in communist China, but Ben missed the meetings.
And Ben, let me expand on what I mean by Ben McAdams being invisible. And I did not see him for quite some time touting his record back in D.C. In the press here.
Yeah, and I think it's really good points all the way around. And I think the one thing that we know for sure coming out of this is that negative ads work, and they work twofold. So they do work in hurting your opponent, but they also hurt you. And that's what we saw very clearly in this race, that the ads that were run both by the outside interest that Dave was talking about, but also Ben McAdams ran some very similar ads going down the home stretch that sort of lumped him in with some of that negative conversation. And so what happens is, yeah, your negative campaign may hurt your opponent to a degree. This year was so saturated, I think they stopped being effective about a month in. But then it starts to hurt you. It's like, oh, so you're not that nice guy. You're not that collaborator. You're not that bring it together guy. And I think that hurt Ben down the stretch. Now, interesting things, if you start looking at and breaking down the numbers, Ben McAdams outpolled Joe Biden in the 4th district by over 10 points. So it does mean there were a lot of people who were crossing over, you know, voting for Trump and voting for Ben. That's an interesting combination. But again, in the end, I think it was less about the impeachment vote. I don't think there was really a single issue.
Was it Pelosi?
I think Pelosi always pulls down the Democrat here. But we've had Nancy Pelosi ads going all the way back to Jim Matheson days. And so any Democrat gets tied to Nancy Pelosi forever. And I think that sort of lost its punch.
I was looking at some numbers. 538 is a website, a polling website that tracks a lot of things. It was interesting because they had how often Ben McAdams had voted with President Trump. And they had what was expected and then what he actually did. Well, he was expected to vote with Trump about 50% of the time. But in reality, he voted for Trump or with Trump 20% of the time, which kind of goes against this moderate persona that he was pushing against. How moderate really was Ben McAdams?
Yeah, and I think that's much more an indictment on the institution of the House and how fractured it is right now than it is on any one lawmaker. Because again, it's when you're dealing with 535 personalities back there in D.C., 435 in the House and 100 in the Senate. They're all kind of going after their own agendas there. So I do think that was part of the issue, is saying, wait a minute, are you really doing that? Or does that just feel good stuff on Twitter and social media? That's always the big test.
Let me flip this around and ask you this, Boyd. Did Ben McAdams try too hard to paint himself as a Republican and then that dazed and confused Democrats?
Yeah, I do think there was some interesting things. Again, Salt Lake County is, of course, where we always see the Democrats are doing better. But the Democrats did not do extremely well in Salt Lake County. They lost two city council seats and then the Ben McAdams race. And so for all the money that was dumped in by the Democratic Party, they've got to be doing some questioning and some post-game analysis on what message worked. And I think to your point, Debbie, I think they're starting to see, no, trying to be a sort of Republican is not a good strategy, is not a winning message. I think Ben could have run much stronger just on some of the things he did do and did achieve in Congress, as opposed to saying, hey, I'm really like you. I know I have a D, but I'm really sort of an R. Because when you try to appease everybody, you appease nobody, and that's how you lose an election.
Boyd Matheson, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to Inside Sources coming up in just a little bit.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
It's your voice and your vote. Daily in-depth coverage on Dave and Dujanovic.
What happened? What happened in the 4th Congressional District that had Ben McAdams conceding his seat to Burgess Owens?
I called Burgess Owens to congratulate him on winning this hard-fought and close race.
Was it a vote against McAdams that lost him the race? We know 2020 was not kind to the Dems in the House. they lost 8 seats so far. Because I say so far, because some races have not been called yet, Dave. They could lose more.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track. Is it 7, 8, 9? They could lose up to 13. McAdams was one of them. Smallest House majority since 1919.
What? What in the world happened?
Yeah, and I can't help but think that this was a vote against McAdams. And the reason I say that is because Burgess Owens, who won, he is ultra conservative. He was super pro Trump. This is not a you know, middle of the road moderate type candidate, and he was a newcomer. Like, I had no idea who Burgess Owens was. I knew him as a football player. I had no idea that he had political aspirations. So how could it not be against McAdams?
Well, let's get Scott Howell on the line. Scott, you're one of the...
Hello, Deb.
Good morning.
Hello, David.
Good morning.
Oh, you know, for years I thought you were the lone Democrat in Utah. We now know based on the latest vote count that you're not alone. But what in the world happened to Ben McAdams that the 4th Congressional District broke up with him?
Well, I think there were a couple of things that happened in that district that were really surprising. First of all, they had an unusual large amount of turnout. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think when turnout happens like that, it's going to go with the district. And that's in terms of political speak, that's what we call an R3 plus district. That means it is very tough to run in that district. And so I would take a little exception with Dave on that. I don't think it was so much a vote against the congressman, but it was more a vote in support of President Trump. And I think when you have a big turnout like that, there were such Trump supporters in that southern part of the district that just spilled over onto Congressman-elect Owens. And so for me, just kind of doing quick, and we won't know everything until the final vote tallies and we do cross tabs and all of that. But it was clearly a Trump push, a really hard Trump push at the very end. And it caught Congressman McAdams off guard. And when you have that big turnout in a district like that, typically, whatever the district is, whether it's Democrat or Republican, it's going to go what that has been in the past. So,
and Utah County showed up. They showed up. Scott.
They did.
Thank you for jumping on the line.
Let's jump out to the phone lines now.
We got Gary from Taylorsville, David. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Was it a vote against McAdams for you?
No, it was a vote against the Democrat. I really like Ben McAdams. But the Democrat policies that we're seeing, particularly out of Washington, are just drifting too far. And I just could not handle that. And so my vote, I would have preferred McAdams, but he represents a party that has gone too far.
That's one of the things, Debbie, that as you listen to McAdams, the moderate that he proclaimed to be, there's certainly discussion whether he was a true moderate, but he sounds like someone a lot of Republicans could get behind, because he certainly is a centrist. He calls himself a centrist, and he certainly sounds like it. His voting record maybe tells a little bit different story, but I think that's not an uncommon take from that caller, where they were voting against the Democratic Party, not necessarily Ben McAdams.
Well, you told me at one point that you thought, you know, he might have been trying to sell himself as the good guy, the nice guy, but that these PACs were coming after him in advertising and he just couldn't sustain it.
McAdams agreed to serve on a commission investigating human rights abuses in communist China, but Ben missed the meetings.
I mean, that's what voters are hearing.
Ads, right. Yeah, there were attack ads against him, and then he kind of – there was this back and forth between Burgess attack ads and then McAdams attack ads. And I think a lot of times when you talk to Representative McAdams, and we've both done this many times, very reasonable. The things that he says, you're like, oh, you know what? I don't totally agree, but I can see where you're coming from. But when you go from the nice guy persona, and then you hear all these attack ads, whether you endorse them or not, then there's this disconnect. And then all of a sudden you start wondering, well, can I trust? Can I trust that? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the danger of using attack ads.
And that's what we brought up with Mia Love, former Congresswoman Mia Love, who lost the race to Ben McAdams, gave up the seat. I mean, hard-fought battle, but gave up the seat by 700 votes in the last election. And we talked about that, the attack ads. They just bring up this question mark in voters' brains that make them question what they think they know about a candidate. Let's get Chris from Highland on the line. Was it a vote against Ben McAdams, or are you, like Gary, our last caller, said, no, it's a vote against the Democratic Party? What do you think, Chris?
Well, it was against both. I've just moved to Utah. When I saw him put family prayer on his TV spots, I actually threw up in my mouth. And then he votes 100% with Planned Parenthood. And all of his negativity, it was just, I just finally turned off all the spots and voted against him because he made me sick.
So you weren't voting for Burgess necessarily. You were voting against McAdams.
Yeah, Burgess has just as many weaknesses as McAdams has, probably, although I tend to agree a little more with him. And he lied about Burgess's stance. He wasn't against pre-existing conditions. But he just made me sick after a while, and I couldn't watch anymore. And I don't believe he's a nice guy.
Well, thanks for your phone call. And Debbie, again, just a few phone calls, but that was my feeling. Because, quite frankly, we just didn't know enough about Burgess Owens. But we did know Ben McAdams. We did know Representative McAdams. He has a history, and we could follow his voting record. And that's sometimes a boon, right? Sometimes that is your strength when you're the incumbent. But if you look back on your history and you look at the voting record and you start realizing, well, maybe they're not as centrist as they appear to be or say they are, then all of a sudden it starts working against you.
It's your voice and your vote. Daily in-depth coverage on Dave and Dujanovic.
There's no other way to describe it. It's a revolving door. A revolving door that is the 4th Congressional District. Yet another incumbent, David, just conceded. And it's a pattern like no other that we've seen in Utah. My question is, why? Why do we keep breaking up with the people we send back to D.C.?
Well, it only happens in one district. It's the 4th district. Everyone else wins in landslides, unless they retire. You're usually pretty good. If you get elected to Congress here in Utah, the only reason you leave is because you want to leave, except in the 4th district. John Curtis, Chris Stewart, Blake Moore. He's 40 years old. Who knows how long Blake Moore is going to be in there? But is it a revolving door in the 4th? Yeah, 100%.
Lee Lonsberry of Live Mike, you've been out there crunching the numbers and doing the analysis. How many different folks have we sent back to D.C. to fill that 4th congressional district seat in the House, and then we divorce them 2 years later?
So if you think all the way back to, what was it, 2012, when we first got word here in Utah that there would be, after the census, a 4th congressional district that was first represented by Jim Matheson, and then it was Mia Love, and now Ben McAdams, and come the next Congress, 117th, it'll be Burgess Owens. So if you do the math on that, and this is the complicated math I've done. I've subtracted 7 from 20.
my goodness.
For seven years now, that district has been represented by 4 different individuals. Now, as Dave pointed out, you're very right that there are some heavily Republican-leaning districts in this state which, like, you know, they like the representative they send. My former boss, Rob Bishop, served for many, many years. If you think of Jason Chaffetz, he secured re-election by some healthy margins. Now, the anomaly, Dave, just to respond to what you pointed out there, was Jason Chaffetz did replace Chris Cannon, who had spent some time in Washington, enjoyed a number of successful re-election efforts. But it is fascinating, and it's not the norm, but it's not unheard of. Hmm. There are a number of districts throughout the country who have similar experiences, and they are the ones in similar situations as us, where the state at large is a very, very red state.
and yet they have a sort of anomalous political ideology in either the capital city or one of the larger cities. And that's exactly what we see here in the 4th District. Who knows after redistricting what that looks like, if it, you know, if it endures, if this back and forth every few years endures. But the one thing I would point out before I surrender the microphone back to you is that there was an article written a few years ago by Lisa Riley Roche, and the headline
for the Deseret News.
For the Deseret News, of course. The headline was something along the lines of Utah is ready to continue punching above its weight. Now, the point that she was making there was at the dawn of a Congress, maybe two or three Congresses ago, you had Rob Bishop serving as chair of the Natural Resources Committee. That's a big deal. You had another big deal in Jason Chaffetz serving as chair of the House Committee on Government Oversight. You also had at the time Senator Hatch over the Finance Committee, and the rest had incredibly lofty assignments as well, Senator Lee and Chris Stewart included. That comes from seniority. And we now, here in Utah, are moving into an era where we don't enjoy that type of seniority. We have two freshmen this year, and Senator Romney still, you know, a relative newcomer to Washington representing Utah. And so we're going to have to leave some representatives in place for a while if we want and if we value that seniority, which can be good, which can be very beneficial to a state.
Now, a revolving door, we say it negatively. I mean, it probably should be more of a positive than it is, instead of, you know, the only way you get power is if you've been in Congress for a decade or two. Is there any way to make it more merit-based to get these committee assignments than just having it based on seniority?
Absolutely.
Been there the most?
It's not a hard and fast rule. If you think back, and I'm not
like
sure.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there you go.
Cast lots.
Merit.
if you think back to, if you remember when Enid Green Mickelson went to Congress, I think she set some historic precedent by, for the first time since like the 1920s, when she made it to Congress, she as a freshman secured a position on the House Committee on Rules. That was unheard of. That just doesn't happen. You don't make it to the, as they call it in Washington, the all-powerful Rules Committee, which has the say and the power and control over what legislation makes it to the House floor. And so I point that out to say that you can, if you are politically savvy and if you have, say, like a strong staff working behind the scenes for you, you can make moves and get yourself some of these committee positions and some of these places of authority as a relative newcomer. Jason Chaffetz jumped over a number of people in Congress with much greater seniority than him to become the chair of the Oversight Committee.
Well, this is just, I mean, obviously this is a blow to the Dems who lost yet, you know, another House seat. They're now up to eight House seats that they've given up back in D.C. And it could go as high as we were talking about just a few minutes ago, 13. I had one of our listeners on the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line ask, you know, did the third party candidates mess this up for Ben McAdams? Not really. Not really. I'm looking at the count right now on the Utah elections, the statewide website and the congressional 4th district or 4th congressional district. And the two candidates, the Libertarian and the United Utah Party, between the two of them, 20,000 votes. I don't know that it was Ben McAdams' problem. You cannot run for Congress hoping that you're going to get the Libertarian or somebody from the United Utah Party to vote for you and get all 20,000 of their friends to vote for you.
Yeah, but you could get 3,000 of their friends, maybe.
Well, that's what he needed, at least.
And I think the third party question and the margins and where they fall is always a fascinating conversation. And I do think that I think in the future there will be an effort to court those voters, especially as you get close to things. And with the anomalous presence of the United Utah Party, those folks, and you know, there are going to be some who are exceptions to this who are going to say, Lee, how dare you? You don't know, you don't speak for me. But I bet many of them would have been otherwise McAdams supporters.
You bring up a good point. All you need to do is win by one vote, right?
That's it.
Lee Lonsberry, thank you so much. We will tune into your show coming up here in a couple hours. About an hour and a half. Two and a half hours. There we go. I'll figure it out.
12:30 to 3.
Hours. I don't know. Whenever.
Every day
whenever
here on KSL
is,
News
Lee,
Radio.
We'll
Lee, thanks for joining the discussion. Dave, this has been a fascinating discussion because I when the votes were coming in, the ballots were being dropped and the new releases were coming out day after day, I really thought that at some point McAdams would take over the lead, and he just never really did. It was days on end where we just saw, even so slightly, Burgess Owens' lead widen.
Yeah, very much what I was expecting, because that's what we saw with Mia Love. For the longest time, Mia Love in 2016 was leading in very similar fashion. And then those last-minute ballots came in to give Ben McAdams that 700-vote win. But I tell you, that's just a close race, and it has been from the beginning.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.